January 31st, 1797, was a busy and happy day in the house of Franz Schubert, schoolteacher in Vienna. A son had been born, and he was to be given the names Franz Peter. The little boy grew up among his brothers and sisters, a friendly, lovable child. At that time, it was not easy to support a big family on a teacher's salary, but the gay Schuberts always managed to keep open house in a simple way. Friends were welcome to drop in at any time. Often, they sat down for an evening of chamber music with Father Schubert playing the first violin. Enchanted hours for little Franz. How intensely he listened to the playing, how he hummed the melodies, how he tried to find them later on the keys of his father's old rattling piano. One day, a friend of his older brother, Ignaz, watching the child's efforts, said to him, "Look, Franzl, I work at a place where they repair pianos. Would you like to come with me and try some of the really good instruments? You may play there as long as you wish." "Oh, yes," cried the boy happily. "That would be wonderful. Our old wooden box is all out of tune anyway. Can I go with you tomorrow?" From that time on, the 7-year-old child sat at the piano hour after hour, teaching himself to play without instruction from anybody. His clever little fingers repeated easily all the tunes he had heard. But soon, Franzl started to improvise melodies of his own, simple inventions which later were to develop into immortal masterworks. Would someday become a good school teacher himself. He started to give Franz violin lessons and sent him to study singing with a choir master and theory teacher, Michael Holzer. When some time later he came to inquire about his son's progress, the old professor said almost with awe, "Herr Schubert, I have never had a pupil like Franz. Anything new I try to teach him, he knows in advance. This boy has the rules of harmony at his fingertips." Appointed a soloist at a large church in the suburbs of Vienna. He had a pure, sweet soprano voice and loved singing so much that he now began to compose little choral works himself. Later on, Schubert wrote many treasures of sacred music. One of them is the Mass in A flat.
Oh.
it became known that some choir boys were wanted for the famous century-old Imperial Church Choir. To be accepted meant the highest distinction for a young singer and granted him the most excellent musical education. First, however, a very strict examination had to be passed. Father Schubert decided to let Franz try his luck and set out with him for the emperor's palace. They walked all the long way to save the carriage fare. When they arrived, hot and tired, their shabby clothes covered with dust, some of the other young candidates sneered at the timid boy with the big eyeglasses. "Look at him," they whispered. "That one wants to be an imperial choir boy. He must be a miller's son with all the flour on his coat." But they stopped laughing quickly when the doors were opened after the examination. Solemnly, the jurors announced that of all the applicants, only two boys had been accepted. One of them was Franz Schubert. Spent four happy and busy years at the Imperial Institute. He sang in the choir, studied harmony and counterpoint, and played the violin in the student orchestra. There, he came to know the symphonies of Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven, which delighted him and often moved the dreamy boy to tears. A new world of sound opened up for the young musician. He spent many hours reading the scores of these masterworks. Before long, the 11-year-old boy was occasionally permitted to conduct the orchestra, and even the most advanced students submitted willingly to his leadership. They may have felt that Franz was growing up to be a great master himself. When the long school day was over, and the other boys played their noisy games, Franz would slip into an empty room. There he wrote down a rich flow of melodies that came to him with such ease. Songs, piano pieces, string quartets, and church music. All of his scanty allowance was spent on manuscript paper, and yet he often found himself without a single sheet. Once, a well-to-do friend saw Franz scribbling on the tablecloth so as not to forget a theme. From then on, he provided him with all the paper he needed. Often the students asked Schubert to play his newest compositions for them. One of their favorite pieces was the Moment Musicale in F minor. Thank you. The happy years of study were over. "Now you shall be my assistant," said Franzl's father, "and I hope you will become a good schoolteacher as all the Schuberts have been before you." This was a hard sacrifice for Franz, but he forced himself to obey his father and started teaching a class of first graders. But he was very unhappy in his work. His mind and soul were filled with music alone. Impatiently, he waited for the end of the daily lessons so he could run upstairs and lock himself in his little attic. There, in peace and solitude, he created one masterwork after another. Searching for some song texts, Franz found a volume of Goethe's poems. He read and read with mounting excitement. When he came upon the poem, "Erlking," he stopped turning the pages. The text had been found. This song became one of his most beautiful and dramatic works. During this period of his life, Schubert began to dream of writing works in a larger, more dramatic form. He had already finished his first symphony at the age of 16, and just a year later, he completed his second symphony. It did not take Father Schubert very long to realize that Franz disliked the classroom and would never make a good schoolmaster. This was a great disappointment, and he became so angry that he told his son in sharp words to attend to his duties or to leave the house.
Thank you.
Franz felt deeply saddened. He had tried hard to please his father, whom he loved and respected. But now, there was no choice. Music would be his destination in life. And in his superb song, To Music, the young composer expressed these feelings. Invited Schubert to share his small apartment. It was a modest home, but here at last he could devote himself completely to his composing. He wrote with incredible speed, sometimes 7 or 8 songs within a single day. Whatever Schubert created, works for orchestra, chamber music, or piano, the melodies came straight from his gentle and loving heart. They echoed the whispering of the leaves, the trills of the birds, the murmur of the little brook. Became famous all over the world is called The Trout. Schubert himself liked it so well that he used it as a theme with variations for piano and strings, calling the work The Trout Quintet. Incredible as it seems, we know that during Schubert's lifetime, the public hardly understood his wonderful music, and he himself was much too modest to fight for recognition. Walking through the streets of Vienna, he would often see Beethoven, who was revered as the greatest living composer. But rarely did the shy young man ever meet the master in person. In many musical ideas, he did not agree at all with Beethoven, and he spoke of some of Beethoven's music as eccentric. However, this was not true all the time, and there was much music which Schubert loved. In fact, some years later, he was pleased to write his famous octet to be played as a companion piece for Beethoven's septet. With his compositions, Schubert went from one publisher to another, hoping to raise some money. But all he received was about a florin for a piece which later would be sold in millions of copies. There were times of bitter poverty. The young composer might have suffered from hunger and cold had not his faithful friends helped him. They knew that he was a genius. They believed in his future. And to prove it before all the world, they proudly called themselves the Schubertians. There were artists, poets, and musicians among these young people. Many of Schubert's most famous works had their first performance in this circle. Among his friends, Schubert appeared to be gay and carefree, always ready for fun and for outings to the Vienna woods in the horse-drawn coach filled with a happy crowd. At parties, he often played his own pieces for the dancing couples, longingly watching them. But deep inside, he suffered from spells of sad loneliness, feelings which are expressed in some of his sweetest melodies. It was as though Schubert knew that he would be a wanderer on this earth, for a short time only. Several years before, he had written a song called The Wanderer, which told of the struggle and unrest of the poetic soul. Now, in his more mature period, Schubert transformed the theme of this song into his most brilliant piano work, The Wanderer Fantasy. By the age of 30, the many disappointments of his career and the struggle to win the reputation he so richly deserved had undermined his health. Yet the magic gift of his inspiration never abated. In 1822, Schubert started on a symphony and wrote the first two movements in almost feverish haste. He laid the manuscript aside to finish it later. But this was not to be. Forever, this immortal work will be known as the Unfinished Symphony. Weakened by sickness, the young composer created still another masterpiece, his last one, the Great Symphony in C Major. In the summer months of the year 1828, Schubert completed his last large work, the Mass in E flat major. Many of his friends felt that it was written in an attempt to impress the church authorities so that he might be given money or steady employment. It was a hopeless attempt, for in November of that year, Franz Schubert died, not yet 32 years old. His last wish was to be buried next to Beethoven, his idol, at whose funeral he had been a pallbearer only a year before. Schubert did not leave any worldly property, a pitiful sum of money and a bundle of manuscripts which were auctioned off for almost nothing. Only much later was their true value realized, and they became priceless museum pieces. Today, Schubert's pure and charming melodies are known and loved by the whole world, and the former little choir boy is counted among the greatest of the great composers.